NHK World Japan Network, broadcasting from Tokyo. We are now starting our broadcast in English. For details of our schedule, please visit our website at nhk.jp/rj. We are always pleased to receive your comments and suggestions through our website or via mail. Our address is English Service, NHK World Japan, Tokyo 150-8001, Japan. Please stay tuned.
Japan. We bring you the news from Radio Japan on Thursday, July 26th. I'm Yuka Matsumoto.
And I'm Hiroko Kitadai.
In our top stories, the main culprits behind a series of attacks that terrorized Japan in the 1990s are dead. Japan's justice minister has confirmed the execution of six jailed members of the doomsday cult Aum Shinrikyo.
U.S. President Donald Trump and European Union Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker have agreed to work together to avert an escalation of trade dispute.
And U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said that North Korea continues to produce nuclear material, but that the U.S. hopes to achieve full denuclearization while President Trump is in office. Now the news in detail. The main culprits behind a series of attacks that terrorized Japan in the 1990s are dead. Japan's justice minister has confirmed the execution of six jailed members of the doomsday cult Aum Shinrikyo. They were the last remaining members on death row. This comes after the cult's former leader and six other members were put to death in early July. Aum members were involved in a series of crimes that left 29 people dead. That includes the release of sarin gas on the Tokyo subway system in March of 1995. The attack killed 13 people and injured more than 6,000. It was one of the group's earliest members and helped expand its membership. He was involved in the murders of a lawyer and his family, as well as a fellow cult member. Masato Yokoyama was involved in the illegal manufacturing of automatic rifles. He was one of the members who released sarin gas on a subway train. Satoru Hashimoto was held responsible for 10 killings, including the murder of a lawyer and his family, as well as the sarin gas attack in central Japan. Yasuo Hayashi had a hand in both of the Toyoda was involved in researching and producing weapons and chemicals. He was one of the members who released sarin on Tokyo subway cars. Kenichi Hirose was involved in building up an arsenal of weapons, including a plan to mass-produce automatic rifles. He was one of the followers who released the nerve agent on subway cars. Court cases for the man and other accomplices ran on for years, the last of which was finalized this past January, paving the way for their executions.
The wife of a subway station staffer who was killed in the 1995 sarin gas attack says the series of executions of Aum cult members reminds her of the gravity of the crimes. Shizue Takahashi heads a group of Aum victims. She said she was thinking about the death row inmates Thursday morning, but the executions came as a surprise. Takahashi said she had seen Yasuo Hayashi at the trial of another member, Katsuya Takahashi, and he came across as calm and resigned to his fate. She said the executions do not bring closure to survivors or victims' families. She pledged to continue efforts to ensure that the crimes are not forgotten.
A major concern following the July 6th execution of Aum Shinrikyo cult leader Shoko Asahara is who will take possession of his remains, as they could become a focus of worship for his remaining followers. Japan's Justice Ministry is considering handing the maze of Asahara, whose real name was Chizuo Matsumoto, to his fourth daughter in line with his wishes. The fourth daughter has reportedly cut ties with the cult. In a news conference on July 11th, the daughter's lawyer said she wants to have the cremated remains scattered in the Pacific Ocean. The lawyer said that he and the daughter are at risk of attack by followers who want the daughter's remains. He said he had asked the police and public safety officials to help ensure their safety and fund the scattering of the ashes. The lawyer explained that as Matsumoto still has followers, burying his remains would make that site secret for them. However, Matsumoto's wife and his four other children submitted a formal request to the Justice Minister to have the remains handed over to them. In her blog, Matsumoto's third daughter said she thinks it's a lie that her father designated the fourth daughter as the recipient of his remains because he was unable to communicate with staff at the detention center. The third daughter said, if it is impossible to receive all his remains, the family would like to be given at least some of them. The third daughter writes in her book that 1 year after his arrest in 1995, Matsumoto put her in charge of the cult when she was 13 years old. She writes that she left the Ohm after it changed its name to Aleph in 2000. She says she continued to meet her father while attending university. Six former cult members were executed along with Matsumoto on July 6th. Sources say the body of one of them, Seiichi Endo, was sent to an Aleph facility.
Tokyo prosecutors have arrested a senior education ministry official on bribery charges. Kazuaki Kawabata, director general for international affairs at the education ministry, was arrested for allegedly taking a bribe worth 1.4 million yen, or around $12,700, in exchange for giving special favors to a medical consulting firm in Tokyo. The prosecutors also served a fresh arrest warrant for a former executive of the consulting firm, Koji Taniguchi, on suspicion of bribery. Kawabata was allegedly wined and dined in Tokyo by Taniguchi while he was on loan to JAXA, the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, from August 2015 to March 2017, serving as the director of the organization. After entering the then Science and Technology Agency in 1984, he has served as director of the Education Ministry's General Affairs Division, chief of the Cultural Affairs Department, and then as the JAXA director. Last year, he was appointed Director General for International Affairs, a bureau chief-level post. The arrests came 2 days after a former Education Ministry bureau chief was indicted on bribery charges related to a government subsidy program to universities. Prosecutors indicted Futoshi Sano, the former head of the ministry's Science and Technology Policy Bureau, on Tuesday for taking bribes in exchange for showing favoritism to the Tokyo Medical University over the subsidy program. In return, the bureaucrat had his son unfairly admitted to the school. The former executive of the consulting firm, Taniguchi, was also indicted for abetting bribery.
You are listening to Radio Japan of the NHK World Japan Network. U.S. President Donald Trump and European Union Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker have agreed to work together to avert an escalation of trade dispute. Trump and Juncker held talks in Washington on Wednesday. The United States and the European Union have been mired in a trade dispute after the Trump administration imposed additional tariffs on imported steel and aluminum, which prompted the EU to impose retaliatory levies on U.S. goods. The EU is also opposing the Trump administration's plan to increase import tariffs on cars and car parts. Speaking in a joint news conference after the talks, Trump and Juncker said they agreed that the EU would buy more soybeans from the United States and that the two sides will accelerate talks to lower tariffs on U.S. industrial products. Trump told reporters that the United States and the European Union had agreed to work toward zero tariffs, zero non-tariff barriers, and zero subsidies on industrial goods, excluding automobiles. Juncker said that the two sides had agreed to hold off on further tariffs, stressing his position to seek a resolution through dialogue in an effort to de-escalate the bilateral trade dispute.
Chinese President Xi Jinping has announced he rejects a global trade war in an apparent preference to U.S. President Trump's protectionist policy. Xi made the remark at the three-day summit of the five emerging economies known as BRICS, which opened in Johannesburg, South Africa on Wednesday. The group consists of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Without mentioning Trump by name, Xi said a global trade war should be rejected because there will be no winners. He expressed resolve to join hands with other members within the bloc, saying BRICS should be resolute in rejecting unilateralism. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa, meanwhile, expressed concern over protectionism. He said the bloc has fears about the rise in unilateral measures that are incompatible with World Trade Organization rules and worries about the impact of these measures on developing countries in Africa. He called on Xi not to expand tit-for-tat tariff hikes between the United States and China.
U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has said that North Korea continues to produce nuclear material, but that the U.S. hopes to achieve full denuclearization while President Trump is in office. Pompeo testified before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on Wednesday about denuclearization talks with North Korea. He welcomed reports by a U.S. research group that the North appears to be dismantling parts of a missile testing site. Pompeo said the North continues to produce fissile material in response to a senator's question as to whether the country is still producing material for nuclear weapons. Senators were skeptical about the North's willingness to tackle denuclearization. But Pompeo said he was confident Pyongyang understands the definition of denuclearization agreed on at last month's U.S.-North Korea summit.
China's special representative on Korean Peninsula Affairs arrived in North Korea on Wednesday. The visit by Vice Foreign Minister Kwang Chung-yu comes ahead of the 65th anniversary of the armistice agreement of the Korean War on Friday. Details of his stay in the North have not been disclosed, but he is expected to exchange opinions with North Korean officials on the denuclearization of the peninsula and a declaration to end the Korean War. The United States and North Korea remain divided over the declaration issue. The North is urging the U.S. to come to the negotiating table because Pyongyang believes a declaration could lead to security guarantees. However, the United States is demanding the North to first take concrete steps toward the complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Geng Shuang told reporters on Wednesday that China will continue to play a role regarding issues on the Korean Peninsula because it was involved in the armistice.
A research group from Italy has reviewed evidence of liquid water on Mars. The finding by scientists at the Italian National Institute for Astrophysics and other research centers was published in a leading U.S. journal, Science, on Wednesday. The group released an analysis using data taken from radar instrumentation on the European Space Agency's Mars Express orbiter. The analysis shows the possibility that liquid water lies underneath about a kilometer and a half of ice at the planet's south pole. The body of water is some 20 kilometers wide. The temperature at the site is minus 70 degrees Celsius. The pressure from the thick ice coupled with dissolved salt may be preventing the water from freezing. Traces of what is believed to have been once flowing streams exist on the planet's surface, but whether water remains in a liquid state remains a contentious topic among scientists. The group says it has considered various possibilities, but the most likely conclusion is that water exists on Mars. And that was the news from Radio Japan of the NHK World Japan Network. I'm Yuka Matsumoto.
And I'm Hiroko Kitarai. This is Japanese Life Through Keywords, a program in which we examine modern Japanese society and life in Japan through keywords taught in home economics classes at Japanese schools.
We have an interview with Japanese philosopher Tatsuru Uchida, a professor emeritus of Kobe College and specialist in contemporary French thought. His writings cover a wide range of fields, including politics, literature, and education. Recently, he's been focusing on the importance of home economics, and he tells us why in this interview. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yoshio Gaswara.
And I'm Hiroko Kitadai. Home economics is a compulsory subject in Japanese schools from elementary to senior high school. In addition to cooking and sewing, the topics covered in these classes include everything from child rearing and care for the elderly to welfare systems and environmental problems.
In early July, 260 home economics scholars and teachers gathered from all over the country for the Japan Association of Home Economics Education Conference in Mito City, Ibaraki Prefecture. Lively discussions about teaching methods took place. Uchida was asked to share his thoughts in writing, and they were read out at the conference.
What I expect from home economics education is the cultivation of the ability to pick up distress signals of people who are in need of urgent help. I think the purpose of schooling is to help children acquire the skills they need in order to coexist with others.
Uchida says that the ability to recognize when another person is in distress is essential to existing in groups. He says home economics helps to nurture the skill. Such intangible abilities are usually not discussed during teacher training. Conference participants were surprised by Uchida's approach.
他者の、その、見事にどう気づる力とかっていうようなところが出てきた時に、すごく納得する部分、でも家庭科教育。I agreed very strongly with what he said about the skill to empathize with those who are in trouble. But when it comes to teaching it, I'm struggling to see the way forward.
There's recognition and there's emotion. Recognition has to do with intellect and emotion with feeling. I think that emotion is extremely important in home economics because it's a subject which deals with how we live. His words struck a strong chord in me.
What specifically is this skill that Uchida mentions, and how should it be addressed in home economics classes?
Joetsu University of Education Associate Professor Yukari Sato is one of the people who asked Uchida for his thoughts, and she conducts today's interview.
I feel that this notion of sensing the distress signals of those who are in need of urgent help may be a little difficult to understand. Could you elaborate?
Uchida replies. Many people think that the ability to survive means being better than others. But that's not the case. It actually involves cooperation and supporting one another. And what's most important to that is the skill of listening closely. It's the most basic skill of all that's necessary for the social functioning of all human beings. To mature and fulfill your role socially, to discover your vocation and find opportunities to use your own talents, they all require the ability to listen. People rise up to their fullest potential when they're asked for help. Recognizing those calls for help and thinking about how to respond to them is the fundamental skill on which all social interactions take place.
Uchida believes that the skill to listen can be nurtured through home economics lessons in schools. This is because the preparation of delicious, nutritious meals and keeping our homes clean and tidy require us to pay close attention to the health of the people around us.
Here's Sato's next question.
I completely agree. But how should we nurture that ability? Which points do we need to pay special attention to in home economics classes?
Uchida's answer is based on his experience as an Aikido master. He says it must be learned through the body, not the head. I teach martial arts. When the children first arrive, their senses are dull, their bodies are tense, and their ability to sense by a touch lacks refinement. They're not good at reading social cues in various situations. They have no idea where to stand or what to do with their bodies. During the course of practice, however, they become aware of how the mood and social situations change. For example, after they bow and enter the training hall, the feeling of the place changes completely in that single step. The mood of the room is different. Being able to sense this kind of thing is a major achievement. Eventually, when I tell them to sit down, they become capable of arranging themselves in the available space in a well-balanced manner. They stop getting in each other's way.
Uchida doesn't think there is any quick way to nurture this ability. He says if you continue to exist in the same space as others, and carry out physical activities together.
Sato then asks,
listening to this, it occurred to me that one thing we can do in home economics classes is to encourage each child to bring the issues they face at home into the classroom and think about them together. More specifically, this might be possible in cooking lessons. The various skills and diverse knowledge they possess can be used to work towards the goal of eating.
Yes, that's right. This is about collaboration. It's about dividing roles, coordinating schedules, deciding on the order of the steps to be taken, and getting a group of people to work together as if they're a single body. I think this is extremely useful.
Uchida got a divorce when his daughter was 6 years old and raised her on his own. The two of them lived together until she left home at the age of 18. Uchida says this experience taught him that doing housework can build life skills. He speaks about that period of his life.
I often made curry as well as pasta and Chinese food because that's what kids like. I made a lot of fried dishes too, like pork cutlets, which I enjoy. I also cooked stir-fried pork and ginger. One day when my daughter was in junior high school, I think, she told me that the packed lunches I made tasted good but were very brown. It didn't occur to me to add color. I sulked and told her she was right. Cooking was great fun. I'd go to the supermarket on my way home from work and think about what I wanted to eat that night, putting my wants above my child's. I looked for foods that were in season, as they were the cheapest and most delicious, and what the body craved at that time of the year. I would think about how I would cook them. Then, when I got home, I would put on my apron and start chopping them up. Cooking skillfully gave me enormous self-confidence. I thought I was wonderful because I was creating something out of scratch that I could eat. I think this kind of thing is a big deal.
At the end of the interview, Uchida talks about how he would like society to develop in the future. Here in Japan, the safety nets provided by the family and community no longer function as well as they did in the past. Uchida says that we must build our society based on the needs of its weakest members, such as the children, elderly, and those who are suffering from illness or poverty. He suggests that it's necessary to create places where such people can gather in their local communities and cover for each other.
一人で全部できるような人も世の中にはいるけども、多くの人はそれができないので、自分の得意なことをやって、で代わりに自分が得意じゃないことは人にやってもらう。
Not many people can do everything by themselves. I think the healthiest way for a society to function is for people to do what they're best at and leave the rest to others. I don't think it should be mediated by money. If it is, then we'll end up with a society in which everyone just wants money.The fundamental point is to consider how everyone can live happily together. People should think about it and take concrete action according to their own historical and geographical environment. And home economics teaches skills for this.
Japanese Life Through Keywords. In today's special edition, philosopher Tatsuru Uchida shared his thoughts on the role of home economics education and what sort of society we should be aiming for.
Please join us again next time. With some music by Motohiro Hata. The name of the song is Suisai no Tsuki, or The Moon in Watercolors.
UTC for Europe is on 5.975 MHz. For South Africa, 11.970. And for West Africa, 9.860. The broadcast at 11 hours UTC for Southeast Asia is on 11.695. The broadcast at 14 hours UTC for Southeast Asia is on 11.705.We are always pleased to receive your comments and suggestions via mail or through our website at nhk.jp/rj.
en courte, en FM, par satellite ou sur Internet, c'est Radio Japon, le service français de NHK World Japan. Voici maintenant nos émissions en langue française. Elles sont diffusées deux fois par jour. Pour le programme précis des retransmissions, visitez notre site web à http://nhk.jp/french. Restez à l'écoute.